Hi, this is Jamie Ruby, and welcome to Fandom Access for Tuesday, April 2nd. Tonight we're going to talk about The Walking Dead, as well as the OA. Wait, Karen's here. Let me bring her in. If it works. Come on. Unmute. Hello.
Hi, Jamie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. I got you on speaker because it's my car. It'll just be a couple minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, I guess if you're driving, do you want to talk about the movie you saw first before we start, or do you want to do that after?
Sure. I can just give you a couple minutes. I went to see Shazam, which doesn't open until Thursday, I think, or Friday. It was an advanced screening. It was pretty good. It's definitely the best DC movie since probably The Dark Knight. It's very much lighter. You know, the DC movies, the Batman and Superman movies, are so heavy and dark. And this movie is interesting because it's a lot lighter in some ways, and yet it's still pretty violent and scary in some ways. It's not a kid's movie. Some people are saying it's a kid's movie. I think maybe 12 is, I don't have kids, 14, 12, I think, would be the age where a kid would really enjoy it. There were some small kids in the theater.
Teens can watch it, but it's not really a kid movie.
Yeah, there were some small kids in the theater that were really too small, and then there were some kids like 9 or 10 that seemed to like it. But there's some very, very scary, like, animatronic demons. So Shazam gets his power from magic. And so there's, like, magic and, like, some evil spirits involved. And they're kind of scary, very scary. And there's a guy who gets his head, like, ripped off. So, you know, that's not the kind of thing you'd take a 5-year-old to. But it's pretty good.
Well, like, it's on television now.
Well, yeah, but that's a little different. Like most superheroes, Shazam is driven by mommy and daddy issues, like almost every superhero has. And so there's this sort of, like, family story about, like, this is not a spoiler, so he's a kid, he's like a 14-year-old kid who gets powers, and when he says the word Shazam, he turns into like a fully grown man superhero. And so I thought it was going to suck, because I thought it was going to be like big with a cape, it's really much better than that, and they do acknowledge, you know, there's some nods to that, and they play into it, and it has some really funny moments. It's definitely, like, much more comic in a lot of ways than other DC films, so I thought it was pretty good.
When you say comic, I mean other movies.
I mean, it's more humorous than a lot of other DC.
Oh, okay, you didn't mean, okay, I wasn't sure what you meant.
I mean, superhero movies. You know, the Marvel movies, particularly, like, that Thor and Hulk buddy movie, you know, they do throw a lot of humor in there. And this movie was kind of the first DC movie I've seen that throws in a lot of that humor. So it's not so heavy and, like, you know, I mean, I love Christian Bale, but Batman's such a downer, right? He's so angry and brooding all the time.
I don't think I ever saw that Batman, though.
Yeah.
So, I saw the one where Superman dies. That was the one I saw.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. I saw it in IMAX. Because this was the only advanced screening in Maryland where I live, and they were showing it at IMAX. So, it looked good on the screen. It was freaking loud. Bring earplugs, man, if you ever go to an IMAX movie. But, yeah, it's pretty good. I don't want to say too much about it because it hasn't come out yet, and really there are only reviews. It's getting good reviews.
Right, right.
It has 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's because nobody's seen it yet. But I thought it was way better than I thought it would be. It really surprised me. It was good. And I'd say if you have a kid who's like a tween, maybe that's the right age to bring them to this movie. And up. You know, adults liked it too.
Yeah, I know.
It's over a long bite. They could have cut 10 minutes out of the final fight scene, and it still would have been good. The final fight scene, like, goes on and on and on. And they could have tightened it up a little bit, I would say, is the one. If I had to, like, cite a criticism of it, that would be it. Which is really not that bad a thing, really. Yeah.
No, that's
so check
not
it
bad.
Out.
A bad criticism. Now, I got to ask,
like, I think
AJ's
son. is the right age, right?
Huh?
AJ's
oh, yeah.
son is
yeah,
10,
he'd probably
watches
like it.
A lot of comic shows. He's the right kid for it, yeah. So.
Cool. But you're saying adults
so
you would like it too, so.
Yeah, I think adults would like I went with all adults. I went with, like, you know, all adults with jobs, and we all enjoyed it. We probably wouldn't have gone if we hadn't gotten free tickets, but I think it's worth paying for.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you, how many people, it's not many people enter these contests that you've won them so many times?
I know, I keep winning contests from my newspaper to, yeah, and
okay,
this
so
one
this
actually.
Is the same contest, isn't it?
Yes, and usually you could only win two tickets, and last week they emailed back and said you could have four because they couldn't fill it. And then even today they were saying, like, we have, you know, extra tickets. They ended up filling the theater,
yeah, the
but they did not.
Entering, I guess.
They just didn't get a huge response for this particular movie. I think maybe because the trailer. I thought the trailer was bad. I thought the trailer made the movie look dumb. Or maybe because it's a
well,
Tuesday night.
Well, trailers can do a lot of good or a lot of harm.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
Tuesday
it is kind of early. But
it was
yeah,
not the
but I don't know. If I was nearby,
happen.
I mean, I would enter them all,
yeah.
too. So, free movie,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's
for subscribers of the
better.
Newspaper. And it has certainly paid for my, four IMAX tickets, that would have been $60 right there.
Yep,
right?
That's true.
Each, so.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say, speaking of movies and tickets, of course, the Avengers, the tickets went on sale today for Endgame. I got my tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I waited till this evening, and I probably shouldn't have, because I had to pick the midnight show in order to go on Thursday, because the 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever it was, show, other than, like, the corner of the back row and the corner of the front row were all sold out. So
yeah.
I figured they'll
yeah.
probably open another screening, but you never know for sure, and you don't know when they're going to open it. So I just took it. But there you go. So I got my Endgame 3D ticket.
And you're wide awake at midnight, so...
Oh,
you're
yeah.
always up at midnight.
Yeah, I'm wide awake at that time. I don't have a problem
you're
with it. So. But
yeah.
still, it's
yeah.
nice to go earlier, though. But
yeah.
like I said, I see it 3D, though. So I'll talk about that probably next week. All right.
Okay.
Well, so we said tonight we're going to talk about The Walking Dead and then about the OA for the second episode. Have you heard back? I was just going to say, have you heard back from AJ if he's even watched it? I don't think he ever responded earlier. Oh, yeah, he did.
AJ doesn't think he's going to have time to
no,
watch
he did.
It,
I missed
in,
it
in a way that makes sense for us.
Yeah.
He's going to watch it, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I didn't
know.
See that message. Yeah. Well, we can talk about it. I just was trying to decide if it would be worth doing, you know, a separate OA podcast. But considering that we only have one other show to talk about, I feel like it's kind of dumb to set up a second show. Especially because it's on the same channel. It's not like we, you know, people can't separate it. But I think people will listen to it. I'm going to post around about it because I did get, if you remember, I had announced about the live chat last week and did get a bigger response this time. Well, this is the time. I think it was the time after I announced it. I can't remember because we did one early, like in the middle of the week. But we're likely going to do, the plan is 9 o'clock Eastern this time for next Monday, because got quite a few people going, but I realized part of it might have been to the Shadowhunters chat was at 8, and I know a lot of people do that. Not that it would necessarily make a difference, but figured it's better to try not to schedule it for something. But got a response, and people seem to like it, and they want to do it again, so hopefully we'll get you know, more people again this week, so we can just check Sci-Fi Vision, and I'll be putting it up. And the only other thing I have to say is that because I still don't want to give myself bad luck, but I'm finally actually getting poster news on that interview I keep saying I'm going to get because I keep being told it's coming, and then but it looks like I'm finally scheduling it, and it's going to be next week. That's next week. Great. I got to look at the thing and think, no, that's this week. That's later in the week. Anyway, people will know about it once I get it. But anyway, so... Instead of more vague talk, we might as well move on to The Walking Dead, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of The Walking Dead, I totally forgot to mention the actor who plays Jerry on The Walking Dead, whose name I don't know, has a huge role in Shazam.
Oh, cool.
The young boy
I really
who
like
becomes
him in Walking Dead. One of the few things I like.
Yeah. The young boy who becomes Shazam, he lives in a foster family, And Jerry is the father of the Foster family, and he's just as awesome and friendly and cool in this role as he is in The Walking Dead. So,
cool.
Get out there and support one of our favorite characters, one of our favorite actors.
Yeah. That's what I said. He's one of the things I like about this show right now.
Now it's
better, but okay. So what did you think about the finale? I don't know. I feel like so much happened the episode before. This one was just kind of, I don't know, calm. Not really, but like I didn't respond to it. I think as well as I expected to, just because I was still kind of hung up on last week. And I think we talked about, we both had kind of some problems with why they were, everything happened. But anyway, you go first. What did you think?
Well, I didn't dislike it, but it really did feel like a coda or an afterthought after last week's episode. And it felt a little bit like, you know, you get these, like, usually in the middle of the season, you get these almost like standalone episodes that aren't necessarily part of a big story arc. They're just
procedural. They didn't start a new story arc, though.
I do, but they had so wrapped up things. They had so wrapped up this chapter that it felt a little bit, I mean, it was the next phase, but it felt a little bit, I don't know. I didn't hate it, and some important stuff happened that we can talk about. I did feel like I had seen this idea before. We had an episode of Fear the Walking Dead last season where there was a hurricane, and the characters were like,
forgot about that. You're right.
There was all that rain and wind and everything, and I felt like, okay, this idea that, you know, in post-civilization with, like, no technology, no electricity, or nothing, like, weather can be really dangerous is an interesting idea, but we saw it. Now, I think they did it better. There were some flaws in the way they did this, but they did it better than the hurricane episode, I think, because the hurricane didn't last very long, and it did end with everybody separated and whatever, but I felt like this was a slightly recycled idea.
I don't know. I was... The problem that I still... Sorry, I don't want to cut you off. I thought you were done.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go.
No, I was just saying, I had said this to you before. Yeah, the thing that I still don't get, and we talked about this, you said how... I don't remember if you said you saw or somebody noticed. I can't remember. But that, like, they showed Kingdom and, like, their rooftops and that were... had holes and were burned and everything from what happened. So they had to leave, but... I kind of feel like they made it like they were leaving because of Alpha, which is why I really, for some reason, thought they were. And if they weren't, like, why now? They knew this big storm was coming, right? If they so knew this storm was coming, why didn't they leave a couple days prior?
Well, they didn't know.
Or being there made it slow. I know, but suddenly they did, because Jerry can, you know, read the weather, and suddenly there's a big storm coming. It would have made more sense if they waited it out, but...
Well, so I think what kind of happened, and I agree with you, I think what you are getting at is that maybe they didn't, like, adequately foreshadow the fall of the kingdom. I know that, like, part of the reason Henry went to go intern with the blacksmith at Hilltop was because, like, stuff was falling apart at the kingdom, and he wanted to help, like, repair stuff, and, like, they had talked about that.
But they had not talked about moving during the winter, I guess,
Well, they hadn't really let on that it was such a dire, horrible situation that, like, Henry's got to learn how to be a blacksmith or we're all screwed kind of thing. That never came up. And then I agree with you that it was, like, kind of sudden that, like, suddenly the kingdom, like, has gone to hell and everything's broken and nothing works and it's not livable anymore and they got to get out of there, which... And then when they're already on the road, Jerry's like, oh, look at the barometer. There's a terrible storm coming. And I guess they wanted us to feel that it was too late for them to go back. But it was a little...
Yeah, I guess they were already on the way before it was coming. But I don't know. It's just we never get to see the winter. I guess they wanted to do something different. But I'm done without it. It reminded me kind of the episode where they had to walk out on the glass because they had to go through the ice and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of gave me that same feeling of that. And I don't know, I kind of feel like in the long run there was no point because, I mean, I'm glad they got across safe, but basically Alpha doesn't even know they passed. So I kind of feel right. like that was a throwaway. Like, what was the point? I mean, I guess I feel like maybe they did it to do something different, and I think it was filmed well, and, you know, the visuals in that were pretty cool, like, in that sense. But I just really didn't find a lot. One of the things, I guess, is important with Carol, that she's finally accepted Lydia, and Lydia, you know, kind of wants to die for it, what happened, so she sees she's sorry in that. But
yeah.
I had told you, the thing that upset me, like, more than anything I just didn't get was Ezekiel, because, first of all, they're leaving the kingdom. So he wants Daryl to leave, but it's not like he's saying, Daryl, leave the kingdom, go someplace else. He's saying, Daryl, we're going to where you were staying for a while. You can't stay there either. Like, they're going through this long trek, and then he wants him to go someplace else and make, you know, another journey. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
He wasn't threatened from him before, and so I don't think it's that. But I get that he blames him maybe for Henry, but I don't know. I just think it's kind of stupid that he did, and I think it was really mean. And I don't know if that has anything to do with, probably not, why Carol left, but I can't say I'm sad that Carol left him.
Well, so I agree with you there. I want to respond to two things you said. One was about the weather, and I think you're right that it was a cool idea, and it's nice that they did winter. I think it could have been improved by just tightening up the storyline a little bit. Like, this idea that, like, you know, they said some things like, oh, the winter has, it's never snowed this much this early before, and it didn't even seem that cold, and then all of a sudden, I felt like, so many things about the weather they could have tightened up. It wasn't like, like, when it's warm like that, the snow doesn't stick. And for Jerry to be like, the barometer's dropping, and yes, he could have studied weather, and we do use barometers still to predict weather, but it seemed like, oh, now Jerry's a weatherman. And then when they're holed up in the sanctuary, Michonne and Ezekiel are like, oh, it could snow for a couple of days, and it's going to, like, cover the road for days, and we'll never get out of here.
Food.
Well, yeah, and then they're like, so let's abandon our horses. They're like, we only have enough food for one day. You're not going to die in one day without food. And they're like, we can't stay here. They abandon their horses and all of their supplies. The horses are the most important thing now.
I wasn't sure.
And they walk through the night in a blizzard, which is ridiculous. And then the next day the sun is out and they get to, like, the hilltop and everything's fine. And like, so they didn't predict the weather. Like, everything you know about survival, that you read about survival in, like, cold climates, like when you go hiking, when you go skiing, like, try not to walk around at night in the snow. Try to hole up. They weren't going to freeze it. At least wait till the morning to go out, right? Like, it just seemed to make no sense of everything they would have learned about survival with walkers. I did think it was kind of cool to have the frozen walkers, and I've sort of been waiting for that. If you have to read World War Z, there's a whole chapter in World War Z about dealing with the zombies in the wintertime and how they freeze. And the winter is the best time in the zombie apocalypse because they freeze solid and they can't move around, but in the spring they thaw out and it gets bad again.
Right.
So the frozen zombies
I
thought were cool.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't so worried about Alpha, it probably would be a better time in that sense to travel. And that's the thing, too, is actually, in a way, they were probably better to go during the storm because she wouldn't be out in the storm. Because that's the thing I kept thinking, too. You're watching these walkers pop up, and I'm like, there's no way that they're people. And at least they didn't do something really stupid that didn't make sense there. Because I'm like, the people, they may want to kill them, but they're not going to kill themselves staying out in, you know, below zero weather pretending to be a zombie.
Well,
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
And like, you know, some zombies are frozen solid, and that's really cool. But other zombies are underneath the snowdrifts and totally not frozen and able to move around. And, you know, at Alexandria, the snow was so bad that
they
had to tie themselves.
Frozen, it would have been probably boring, though.
Well, they were
completely
frozen. And then in Alexandria, it's so it's so bad they have to, like, you know, tie themselves together. But 5 miles away at the sanctuary, it's not that. Like, I thought that there were just some. I hate to pick it apart too much because it was an okay episode, but I just felt like some things about the storm could have been.
No. I just kind of
thought there was
like
a little bit of floppiness.
They should have explained. Yeah, and I also feel like they should have explained to Judith, you don't leave no matter what. Like, I mean, because the thing is, it's like we said before, then other people risk their lives. Although, the only people that went was him and Sadiq, which I find kind of funny. Like, I was trying to think. Was it Michonne with them?
No, Michonne wasn't back yet. Michonne comes back the next morning and
she
thanks
the other group. Okay,
Negan.
That's what I got confused with.
Yeah, she comes back and thanks Negan for saving her.
But I still would think that it would be somebody other than Sadiq that would have also went after her. But, yeah, I mean, it was so obvious Negan was going to go save her. I mean, it's like, you know, no matter what, he's going to save her. I figured he might die saving her, but I knew he'd go save her. And it was nice. I mean, I didn't mind it. It doesn't redeem him, but I didn't mind the scene. Uh-uh. I was more worried about the dog, as you know. And I'm like, you better save that damn dog, you know. And of course he did, because he was what let it go. But she should have known better than to run off like that, kid or not.
She should have known better, but she is like 7. I mean, you know, it's funny,
that's
on
true.
Talking Dead, Chris Hardwick joked on Talking Dead that when Judith ran off by herself, he thought, oh, good, look, she's just like her brother Carl. Because I thought Carl always ran off by himself and no one knew where he was.
Yeah, I just
ever.
Say that. Carl, where are you, Carl?
Carl, where's Carl? So Judith did the same thing. And they also said on Talking Dead, and I think this is really kind of true, that, you know, Judith is like the only thing in the world that Negan cares about, really, and really the only friend that he has. And, you know, he's still an evil person, but he's genuinely fond of Judith. And
he
you
has
know, so, yeah.
bits of humanity. I mean, I don't think he's completely gone. That doesn't mean that he's good in
he
any
can't
way.
Be redeemed,
but I think that he does have right, but he does, I mean, I think to some extent he does have some humanity still left. But and really, if he died, it's not like he was living all that great of a life right now. But just in general,
I mean, he's still
I don't
a total jerk to everyone all the time and, like, going out of his way to be a jerk to Gabriel. But I love how, like, he's still trying his same old, like, 7th grade tactics of being a jerk. And everyone's just like, oh, come on, Negan, you're so predictable.
Yeah,
is that the best
bitches.
You can do?
I know, like, quit being an idiot. And he's like, no one's going to time it. Well, not when you sit there and act like that.
He doesn't even
gotta say, though,
bother anyone anymore.
No, I know, but part of me kind of went, although that one thing even Gabriel laughed at, I forget what it was, but it was funny when he made even Gabriel laugh. I thought that was
father
funny.
Not the father.
even he laughed at that. But I wondered almost, though. Sorry, go ahead.
I think they are setting him up to be more integrated with the group, right? They cannot keep a character like Jeffrey D. Morgan in a cell to only speak every 3rd episode. And I think, I don't know if he can be redeemed, but they are setting him up to become maybe a member of society. He had that moment with Michonne at the end where, you know, he says,
like,
is everybody okay? Yeah, when he says, is everyone okay? And she says, do you care? And he says, look, I don't know them, but I know what it's like to lose your kingdom, and it sucks. Because he lost the sanctuary. I think they're setting him up to become a more productive member of society.
Yeah. What I was going to say, though, is I almost wonder, and I don't think it is, but I could see the show, depending, although they're doing better, so hopefully not, but taking on this idea, is I kind of almost wondered if maybe as much as he saved Judith, it was kind of also a ploy to get in her good graces and be let out, or maybe Michonne might at least think that. I don't know. I thought about that. Like, I don't think that's why he did it, but I think the show could go there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely couldn't try to escape in that. He had to stay. Well, he escaped once and he came back, because as Judith said, there's nothing for him out there, right? So.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I have an idea of where, I know where his story goes from here in the comics, but there's no Blizzard and no Judith and none of this, right? In the comics, there is no Carol, and Ezekiel is killed with his head on a spike, so it's hard to say where this could go. As far as Ezekiel and Carol, so you brought up, like, what a jerk he was to try to drive Daryl out, and I agree with you. And I'm not sure, so, you know, Carol later says to Daryl, he only, like, blames you because he doesn't want to blame me. This idea that it was Carol who allowed Henry to go to the hilltop and Carol who entrusted him to Daryl to look after. So is it Carol's fault that Henry's gone? If you're Ezekiel, who do you blame, right?
Maybe you know Alpha because she's the one that did it.
Or does Ezekiel like? Well, is he just, or does he think that when Carol looks at Daryl, she's reminded of what happened and it's painful for her? Or does Ezekiel think that he, like, is Ezekiel worried? Like, he sees how close Daryl and Carol are, and does he worry that he could lose her to Daryl romantically, which I don't think is possible.
Because
I think those two are always going to be platonic BFFs.
I will say, though, you know, from at least from television, a lot of times people do lose children. They split apart. So I guess you could see, I just feel like it was rude in the sense that he could have said, in my opinion, he could have said something like, you know, I know she's hurting right now, and I think it might be better if you're not here. Maybe you should talk to her about it or something like that, or even talk to her about it. But I get the feeling he never said anything to her, and she would have, like, not been happy if she knew he said it. In fact, maybe she found out, and that's why she left. I don't know.
I mean,
I think she would have felt more betrayed than him saying that behind her back.
Remember that Ezekiel has been treated like a king for 7 years and maybe, like, really has gotten used to just, like, giving commands and not really – I don't know. I think that, I mean,
that was funny though, when she
signed
that thing, Queen Carol. I just was thinking of that. So
that was funny.
That was cool. Go ahead.
On Talking Dead, so Angela Kang said exactly what you had, that many marriages don't survive the loss of a child. Some people grow closer, some people weather it, some marriages don't survive losing a child. And so they wanted to explore that, and that's definitely a reason why they wrote it this way. You know, and they talked a lot about, like, this is like the third, really fourth child that Carol has lost now. She lost Sophia, she lost Lizzie and her sister, and now she's lost Henry. And, you know, like, how much can Carol take, and where is this going to go? Why do you think Carol left?
I want to see badass Carol. Why
yeah,
do I, think,
I want to see.
I don't know. I mean, I really didn't have an idea. I think it might have been because it was painful because of Henry. But like I said, I feel like if she had, I don't think this is what happened, but I think if she did find out he said that behind her back, I think she would have been mad because she would have been like, you should have came to me. You shouldn't have made that decision without me. But I don't know. Maybe she just didn't want to still lead. I don't know, because that was the other thing that kind of irritated me, is that why is he, like, why are they going to take over Hilltop? Why don't they move into a different, like, their own community? Like, the people
are
still
take
alive,
it over.
Right? Except for the ones
that
got their
over. They're just going to live with them. They need a place to go to be safe. They're not going to take over the Hilltop. They're going to join the Hilltop.
Right, but I thought they made, maybe I was just assuming that. I thought there was a comment made. I figured, like, they thought they were going to rule it. Like, because he was still the king. Because I thought he made some comment about that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I get that Tara's dead, but I meant that doesn't mean he just gets to take over. I got the opinion he thought that they were going to rule it. I don't know.
That's funny.
I
didn't get that.
I
didn't get that. I didn't get that impression at all. But someone, you're right. Someone, I can't remember who, but someone does say in the episode, they say, you know, we lost Jesus, we lost Tara, and they've lost two rulers in a row. And I don't know who is leading the Hilltop right now. Maybe it's Aaron.
Probably no one, but he shouldn't just volunteer and take.
Aaron wasn't. Aaron wasn't in this episode, right? Aaron wasn't in this episode.
I don't think. No. Oh, I think he was in a tiny bit in the one snow, but they went to his house or something. I can't remember. It wasn't.
Oh yeah, they were.
But,
they were going to his house, but
yeah, they. Right.
So I don't know.
The thing is, other than the people that were killed on the pikes. Sorry, I was going to say, other than the people that were killed on the pikes, the kingdom people were still alive. I'm just not quite understanding why they don't make another kingdom.
Well, they got to find a place, and
like,
it's the middle of winter, and they can't start growing food, and they can't, right? You got to scout out and find a place, and Alpha's got you penned in on one side. So, like, there's not just a place to just go, right? So they're going to join the Hilltop and live there, I guess, maybe they will say, we have no leader. Ezekiel, you're an experienced leader. Will you help us? Or maybe he just won't be a king anymore. It's hard to say. There's no, in the comic book, he's dead at this point, so there's no telling. Although I've heard that the actor Cary, I forget his last name, I've heard that there's been reports that he's leaving the show, and most people thought that he would get his head chopped off. Well, I don't know. There have been reports that he's leaving the show, right? I guess not this season, maybe next season. He didn't get killed, so. Everybody thought he'd get
there
killed.
There was something in the news. Yeah, there was something about Maggie might come back. I had seen somewhere, but I read it yesterday, and I wonder if it was an April Fool's thing, but I never found out because I hadn't heard anything about it till then. And
well, I mean, I've seen Gimple and Kang say on Talking Dead and in the news that the storyline is open and it would be great to have Lauren Cohan back for a few episodes. But who knows if her show is going to be a hit that she's on? You know, she can't get paid. They didn't want to pay her as a lead, so she walked, and I think that's totally fine. And I mean, I think it's important for female leads to stand up and be like, you know, you need to like pay me and treat me the way you're treating the men, which is not really what she said. I want to be clear that there aren't reports that it's because she wasn't getting paid Rita's money, but she couldn't negotiate a acceptable contract, and so she left. So what I've seen is that they're open to having Maggie back, but there's no plans that I know of to have her back unless yesterday's news
was. Yeah, I didn't think so. So I wasn't sure what I had seen.
Anyway, I think they're just joining the Hilltop because they have no place to go. And I guess they'll have to see if there's room for them and if they will go start a new place next season or not. But I guess they couldn't just go and find a place on short notice after their building. So they had apparently this giant fire or something. It was all a little vague. I felt like they could have done a better job of the fall of the Hilltop, and it would like definitely they had other fish to fry this season with Alpha, but that was sort of a back burner thing that could have been really interesting. Like, how do you keep stuff going when like you can't call any repairmen? There's no carpenters, there's no plumbers, there's no anybody, right? You got to either learn how to do it or your stuff just falls apart. And you know, you ever watch that show Life After People on like Discovery Channel? Do you ever see that show?
No, I have not.
Okay,
no.
It's a show called Life After People, and each episode would be like, if people disappeared off the earth, what would happen in New York City? And they talk about how in 1 year, like, there'll be like all these potholes in the street with trees growing, and in 5 years, there'll be this, and in 10 years, the herd of deer in Central Park will have taken over because they have no predators or whatever, and they, or, you know, all the dogs and cats will die because they'll be locked in the houses and we're gone, and, so they talk about, like, how long it will take buildings to, like, how long will it take skyscrapers to fall down? How long will it take this to happen? And it's, that's an interesting kind of, they don't have time for that, but, like, they're 7 years in, and I guess things at the kingdom just couldn't be
taken care of in the zombie apocalypse, you know?
Right.
Right.
I think Carol left. So part of the reason, did you catch when Carol's breaking up with Ezekiel, and he's like, I'll always love you. And Carol says something like, I'll never forget the fairy tale, or it was nice to have the fairy tale for a while. She doesn't say to him, I'll always love you back, but she says something about living the fairy tale. And they talked, like, I've always thought that Carol was not as into Ezekiel as he was into her. Like, he pursued her, and she backed off, and she was never so into the king and queen thing. And it was, I mean, I think she loved him. She stayed with him all those years, but I felt like
at the beginning, like, she did as much.
It just kind of, and they talked on the Talking Dead, they talked a little bit about how, like, Carol came from an abusive relationship before the apocalypse with an abusive husband. And then she lost Sophia, and she became this badass, angry person, lost herself, finds these two girls.
She's afraid to depend on people, too, but...
Yeah, and so for her, like, not just the fairy tale of being a queen in a castle, but the fairy tale of finding a loving husband and having a child and a family, like, sort of fell apart for her when she lost Henry. And, like...
Yeah.
That's what she meant. Well, Melissa McBride was the guest. Melissa McBride and Angela Kang were the guests on Talking Dead, so that's what they talked about. That for her to, like, this was the fairy tale that she'd never had. But yeah, I always kind of felt like Ezekiel was way more into it than she was. So I guess it just isn't there for her anymore, and she's got to go. You know, also, and I think they talked a little about this, like, to go back to Alexandria is to be with her people, like, not just to be with Daryl, but Michonne and people that she's been with.
Really,
who's left from the beginning? Just Daryl and Michonne, really, and Carol.
Yeah, that's true.
And Judith.
But there's really nobody at the Hilltop, though.
Yeah.
Compared to Alexandria.
And they also, someone, you know how they take like, listener tweets on the, they read tweets and stuff on the Talking Dead, and someone had tweeted, you know, Ezekiel, don't try to get between a grieving woman and her bestie. And, like, Daryl's her best friend. And, you know, he tried to, like, for Ezekiel wanting to separate her from her best friend is not, I mean, that's not why she left Ezekiel, but it was a bad idea. He needs to encourage her to, like, he needs to welcome Daryl so that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he felt threatened or what, but he didn't before, so
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, but shippers around the world are getting excited.
Yeah, I don't know.
Carol,
I mean, I'm happy about that. I don't think they're going to suddenly get together. I mean, I'm not expecting that, but I didn't really like it with Ezekiel. I never really bought it. So,
I'm fine
with it regardless.
I love them as best friends, and I'm happy for them to just be more together as best friends and for Daryl to come back to, you know, for her to be the person that kind of brings him back into the fold. But, so why do you think she didn't kill, why do you think Carol didn't kill Lydia? First of all, I don't really buy Lydia trying to kill herself.
I just don't like that character to begin with, so I really didn't care. But, I don't know. I mean, maybe she realized the girl really did care about Henry and, you know, it wasn't exactly her, it was her fault in a way, but I mean, it wasn't like she did it intentionally. And I think that, I don't know. I feel like if she just killed another child, it would have just, I don't think it would have helped her. It definitely would have brought Henry back. So, and also Daryl was protecting
kill
her.
Another
I think
child.
Might have been part of it. So, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I
do think it, she did wait to save her, though. Do you notice that? Like, she waited. She waited to see what you did.
Yeah.
When she's out for that zombie, which I really thought that zombie looked like Beta. That's why I was confused. I'm like, nothing happened to him, but it really looked like him to me.
Yeah.
So
you raise a good point. You raise two good points here that I hadn't considered, that to kill a child is not something Carol's prepared to do. And also, what's the thing you said? And the second thing you said was, I think for Daryl to vouch for Lydia carries huge weight for Carol, right? For Daryl to say, no, she's a good kid makes Carol really have to, he's a great judge of character. I'm not sure I entirely bought Lydia wanting to kill herself because everybody's mean to her. She's like, everybody's mean to me. Nobody likes me here. I'm going to kill myself.
I don't think she... See, I didn't feel like
that's not really
mean to her. I feel like it was just the guilt of what happened. I felt But I just...
Yeah.
Like I said, I really don't like that character. That's why, like, I hope Carol don't get close to her because I want her to die.
Yeah. Well, with Henry gone, I expect that maybe it'll be Lydia who will take on much of Carl's storyline going forward. I just think that Judith is way too young.
Well, then they need to make her character more believable.
Well, maybe they will, but I had thought Henry would assume a lot of Carl's storyline, and now I think it needs to be an older teenager. Judith is just too little for a lot of this stuff that, you know, I mean, Carl, in the comic book, Carl is old now, not old, but, you know, and real leader-y, and Judith is not there yet. So I wonder if it'll be Lydia who will take on some of that. I think you're right that it was more like everybody like hating her and blaming her, just she couldn't stop blaming herself and feeling guilty about it, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she lived a horrible abuse. Lived a horrible abusive life, like, ever since the apocalypse. Like, her mother was a horrible person who abused her, you know, terribly, and really didn't love her. And so to be with people who don't love you is not, I feel like Lydia can take a lot. So I think you're right. It was more about her own guilt over Henry and the first person who was nice to her and, you know, and seeing the way Ezekiel and Carol are grieving for Henry, and Alpha will never grieve for Lydia like that. Right. Alpha just wants her back because she wants her back because she's like her property. Oh my God! By the way, that was the dumbest thing about the entire show, that the Whisperers migrated to freaking like Florida or someplace that's warm to wait out the winter.
Where did, I didn't even know that. See, I just assumed it was at, because we were talking about that. After I thought about it, I think it may have just been after the fact. Because if you think about it, the whole episode was actually Ezekiel talking to Judith on the radio. He was telling her, well, supposed to be telling her what happened, and I guess maybe she was telling him the other side. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But so technically it could be that that happened after the winter, but I don't know. I didn't pay enough attention to really
think
of anything else until you mentioned it.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a flashback or a flash forward or something also, until I watched The Talking Dead and Angela Kang said, yes, they are nomadic people with no real base of operations, and they just, like, went someplace warmer. Do you know how long it would take those? And
they can cross into their territory now.
And they took the giant herd with them.
They'll be there.
And Angela Kang says they migrated. No, they're going to come back to their summer home and come back to Alexandria. It is so stupid because if they don't have a base or a camp, why would they come back to Alexandria?
So
why don't
they
just stay? Like, it makes no sense that.
Yeah, I thought
how long it would take.
I thought they're moving on.
You know how long it would take to walk to a place where it's warm? They'd have to walk from Alexandria, Virginia to, like, Georgia or further, you know. Which would take, how long would it take you to walk? It took me 9 hours to drive to South Carolina from my house. You know how many, like, weeks it would take to walk with a herd? And then they're going to come back? And why come back? What are they coming back to?
Yeah, it's probably the end of the winter season by the time they get back.
Yeah. Why would it make any sense for them to, it just makes no sense. It's so dumb.
Yeah, they would. If they're going to do that, they would just stay when it's warm even. Like,
right?
Not leave there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Makes no sense.
I don't know.
So,
I doubt
who do you think was on the radio?
No, I can't see the ending there.
At the end, we hear a woman on the radio.
Oh, that's right, at the end. Oh, I figured it. After we've talked, I figured it was from Walking Dead. It kind of sounded like it could have been the girl, but you couldn't tell for sure.
I forget what she said. She was saying, like, hello, hello, is anyone there, or something like that, right? I forget what she said.
Yeah, I don't know. I just assumed it's probably for the people from The Walking Dead, and we'll find out later, from Fear.
You mean from Fear the Walking Dead?
Yeah,
so they talked about
it. I was thinking it was the girl from Fear.
They took a poll on Talking Dead to see, like, they talked about it. Do you think it could be Maggie? Do you think it's, they did not say, is it anyone from Fear, which is a total reason to think that it's someone from Fear, because they talk on those CB radios all the time and on walkie talkies all the time. Right. So it could be Alicia.
Yeah.
It could be that trucker
whose name
I forget. It could be Maggie. It could be Georgie. It could be a new group of people. But I am predicting, after seeing Scott Gimple last week on Talking Dead, I'm really down with the ongoing. I didn't think of this. People have been talking about this for months, that could this coming season be the last season of Fear, and Morgan will succeed in taking everyone back to Alexandria as he blatantly talked about. And then they'll just merge the two shows.
What's the point in making a spinoff just to merge it, though? That seems kind of weird to me.
Because it's run its course. Because they've done enough storyline. It's not because,
right,
you know, they killed off Madison.
Why bring them back? Morgan, I get, but like they have
Morgan and Alicia.
Walking Dead.
They killed the mother. They killed the son, the two stars. They've killed everyone. And perhaps they're diluting this franchise too much, and they need to end one show so they can put their resources into these movies they want to make. Like,
I guess.
You know, maybe
they're surprised they wouldn't just end the show, but
they
have that
hit.
Other guy.
You know, its ratings have been going
down. No, I know, but I'm saying I would just think the show would just end. It seems surprising to me they would bother merging it. I mean, I understand bringing Morgan back because he's, like, you know, he's good.
Well,
I don't
know. The same thing.
But it makes sense
because
he would come back with them. Yeah, he would come back with them.
I mean, that's the same thing. If you don't want to call it merging, they will just transfer the characters over to Walking Dead and end Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing.
I mean, maybe Alicia and Morgan can become
across the country and back and still find each other. We know that.
Yes,
so
they can. Well, and he knows, he's been to Alexandria, and he's been to the hilltop, and he's been to the sanctuary. Like, he knows exactly where to go, right?
Yep, if they're still there.
except that there's been a 4-year time jump, roughly, and so
there's
we don't know where Morgan and Alicia, you know, we don't know where Morgan and Alicia
well,
will be
true.
With the time jump.
I didn't
jump.
Even think of that. They had a whole 4 years to get there.
Yeah, and they haven't gotten there.
If they do the time jump, I mean, technically they wouldn't
if
have
they do
to
it.
Do the time jump one. Or wait, wasn't, I take that back, though, wasn't part of the time jump already taken up, though, in Fear, because they jumped a couple when they hadn't known Walking Dead? So it, I think it's more like 2 years, maybe, instead of four.
Yeah, and the final scene on Fear the Walking Dead where they had a real operation going on and they were taking out the trucks and the deliveries, like, we don't know how long it took for them to set that up, right? So that could have been.
Yeah.
Because in the last episode, Morgan's like, maybe we shouldn't go to Alexandria, maybe we should start, like, helping people and delivering stuff in our trucks. So anyway, that's my theory. That it's not my theory. It's a theory that I am now buying into, that's where it could be going. And so it could be them on the radio. I doubt it's Maggie.
Oh,
it could be
people.
Move on. Yes.
No. I was going to see if I could change the show. Cause we have like 13 minutes left. How long
I don't know how to do
for?
It. I didn't set it.
Oh, AJ said
it. AJ must have set it.
Okay.
I don't know how to extend the show.
I'm trying to see.
I can open my computer. And
I don't know. I don't think that was 2 hours, though, was it?
We've only been on for 45 minutes. I don't know how long the show was set for. I don't know how to do it. So let's talk about, let's move on. Talk about the OA. At least get a few minutes in.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
want to
talk just about episode two?
Oh, yeah. He, no wonder why. He only made it an hour. Why is it only an hour?
Because he only had one show to talk about. He thought we would only talk about The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll write him a text. Maybe he'll see it in time, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know how to. Are you logged in under your own password or the admin password?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to. No, I'm under Rogers, but I couldn't figure out how to do it.
All right. I don't want to log in his password also if you're in. I don't know how to extend the show. All right, let's talk quickly.
If not,
we can talk for 10 minutes
to
about.
The OA fans if we get cut off again. Yeah, because we're going to need more 10 minutes probably. Okay, well, so this was the, I lost my thing I had up. The second episode, Treasure Island. And in this episode of the OA, Prairie does get to talk to Hap, and she finally finds out, we find out what happened and how him and the other, the rest of the five traveled there. And I think I had mentioned this last week that apparently from what everybody was talking about it figured out, it seems like Prairie, I think, left like 2 months or something after they did, because she was home for a while first. They left almost immediately, so they were in the other dimension before she was, because that makes some things make more sense if you didn't get that. But it does tell how they finally got there and how he killed them in order to travel. And I'm still questioning whether somebody has to actually die or not for somebody to travel, because that's, well, we'll talk about that more as the season goes on. I don't want to, reveal anything, but I'm curious about it. But we find out everybody's a little different, but it's like they're still in a prison, I think find that interesting. But obviously Rachel has aphasia and can't talk, and it's because she got hurt from getting – some kind of brain damage from the accident that killed her brother. I think it killed her brother in the first dimension. It did something to her different,
right.
So that's why she can't talk. So therefore, okay, cool. He said he extended it. I have no idea how long he extended it, but he said he extended
it.
Let me go back. All right. Now I lost track of what I was saying. Okay, we have an hour.
You were talking about
the
accident that left that left Rachel with aphasia.
Yeah, so everybody's a little bit different. Like, Scott's clean, and obviously we knew that that Homer they don't know what happened to Homer. They think maybe his mind didn't transfer. They just don't know at this point what's going on. But I was just going to say, I don't want to say that, do we know? See, I hate saying that. I don't think this is really. Okay, it is here. I just want to make sure. Hap has. That was this one. Okay, that Hap's letting her work with him because she can't communicate to them what's going on.
Right.
because and then in this one she tries to tell them what she knows is going on, and she gets
Who's she? Prairie? You mean Rachel.
With using games, she gets them to see that she was saying something about teenagers in a house.
That happens already in episode two, where Prairie is trying to.
Took screen captures from episode two. Yeah.
Prairie is basically being held. Hap is basically holding Prairie in isolation in the psychiatric hospital so that she can't talk to the others. And Prairie gets Homer to release her into the general population for like recreation hall time or whatever. And she tries to find a way for Rachel to communicate without words. And Rachel starts picking up like little houses from Monopoly and little game pieces or whatever to try to communicate. Right. That happens in this episode.
And, yeah, I double checked it.
Wow.
I knew because I took screen captures for the tweet. Yeah, a lot comes on at once. And they get across that there's a house with teenagers or children, and she has a tulip, so something about flowers and also a map. And that's pretty much all she gets across before he grabs her. And meanwhile, Kareem is off trying to find out more about the house and the mystery and the game and everything. And he talks to a woman from the sleep study and finds out that not only was Michelle missing, but this Dr. Rhodes that was working on the sleep study that she left at the same time. And he does get her to talk some, and she basically explains about the sleep study at Curie and that she left because images from dreams came into the real world and that there's just three images that started to become common in dreams, which is a tunnel the size of a coffin, a double-sided round staircase, and a rose window. And those obviously will become more important as the show goes on. And she also talks about prosthetic dreams and the woman that started it, which is obviously the one who wrote the book, was Nina.
Right.
And then at the end, and then the big thing, of course, at the end is that Rachel knows that he has a locked room, and she tries to...
That Hap has a locked room, right?
She got the code. Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. I don't know what I said.
She watches him, through the code.
Okay, yeah. Hap has a locked room, and she ends up getting in, and she sees something terrifying. We don't know what it is because she can't communicate, but he freaks out and kills her. He strangles her and knocks her to the ground. I just find it interesting that after he kind of looks at her and he's like, what have I done? Like, he's so surprised at himself, which I find kind of funny. But, you know, somebody else said something yesterday that actually made me think I hadn't even thought about. But he's probably also upset she's dead because he thinks he needs her to travel. I mean, I hadn't even really thought about.
Because you need five. You need five people to do the movement.
Yeah, yeah. So he could, in that
five
sense,
travelers.
Be upset. Right. And that, well,
I think
then
that
happened. Now, so.
I think that Hap is repeatedly...
gets angry and loses his temper.
Well, I was going to say he's repeatedly surprised at himself and his own capacity for violence and evil. And he doesn't... You know, it's something that we talk about in every show with a villain, and Negan even said it in Walking Dead on Sunday, no one ever thinks they're the bad guy, or no one ever thinks they're evil, right? And Hap, Hap really is always, he's always like, Prairie, why don't you help me? This will be so great. And Prairie's like, you're fucking nuts. I've been helping you, right? And Hap's always, he's always surprised when he kills someone. Like, when he killed, when he shot that lady last season, the sheriff's wife, and when he, threw Prairie up by the side of the road, and when he, Hap's always surprised at himself when he, at his own violence and,
he's
evilness. He's so not self-aware. Yeah, he's the only one who's surprised. I agree with you. He totally seemed surprised that he killed Rachel. And he was like, Rachel. It hadn't occurred to me, but you are also right that he's probably like, well, I can't travel without these people.
And it was somebody, on Twitter that said that, so I can't take credit for that. But I thought about that. It made sense. The other thing that I wanted – well, wait, we got to talk about the end. Okay, and then we can talk more about what things mean. But at the end of the episode is when, after Rachel dies, we see her, I don't know, potentially, and this is, again, sometimes it seems like the people die and they automatically start to travel. So that's why it's so confusing, like, exactly what causes them to travel. But we see her mind move, but it seems like rather than traveling, that maybe her mind is moving elsewhere. And then we see Buck, whose mother calls her Michelle. So that's just kind of like, if you didn't realize Michelle is a version of Buck, it's kind of like, hello, we're telling you now outright. That
yeah.
maybe Michelle or Buck sees something in the mirror and hears something, and that's kind of where it ends. So obviously the next episode will explain kind of what happened there. And the next episode does go back to the Crestwood characters. So it's kind of on the opposite, you know, part of the story next week.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of, like, specifics to say about it. And there's a couple things. He does things, though, that to me you would think other people would notice. Like, the one thing to me I noticed when I watched this the second time, because I commented last night when I watched it the third time, but he hits himself in the face with a clock, right, since Prairie did it. Prairie has on a straight jacket. I would like to know how she hit him in the face with a clock. Nobody seems to notice that.
They never took the straight jacket off when she came in the room?
No, if you look, she's still got it on. That's why it made no sense to me that he could even say she hit him. Because, unless maybe it's untied, but you can't tell it, because it sure looks like it's still on and tied from what I could tell. But
because I did notice there are times when people walk in that room and then he says, oh, take the straitjacket off, and he takes it off. Doesn't he take it off and say, I'm sorry about this? Or is it when someone else comes in the room, when he brings in Scott in a later episode? There's a scene where someone comes in a straitjacket and he says, I'm sorry, let me take that off you.
Yeah, I don't think it was there. Yeah, well, it seemed like there she had it on. But anyway, so yeah, he just did the reason to keep her separate. And the other thing I was going to mention is I think this is the episode when she's starting to make her flow chart, right? I think that was this episode. Was that last episode? I think this is this episode. She writes on the board that she's kind of connecting that her life and Nina kind of split at the NDE. And she also apparently has skills she can pick up from the original host, because she draws with like chalk, I can't think what it's called, but she charcoal.
Oh, yeah,
she
like
draws
charcoal.
The five kids to show them. Yeah, and that kind of, I wonder about that, because I assume that's like a muscle memory, but she still can't write, which kind of, it makes it not make a lot of sense. I don't know if you're supposed to notice that, but because, I mean, I did notice the fact that she can't, her ends are backwards and she can like barely print. And I mean, if you think about it, she would have learned what she learned up until she was six or whatever, and then she didn't learn anything else until she could see. But so I would understand she couldn't write, but it seems strange to me that she can't write, but she can draw by some kind of muscle memory. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not relevant that they, you know, for each. But and then the other thing, and then I'll let you talk, but the other thing I want to mention somewhere in here, I think it's towards the beginning of the episode, I think it's Homer, makes a comment how, like, this is supposed to be some kind of big thing in psychology because multiple people are having the same delusion and they're not, like, close to each other. And he's like, this is the first time it's happening. All I keep saying is fully ado. Hello, go watch the X-Files. This is not the first time it happened, because I know that was based on real medical evidence. I mean, so it has happened. But, I mean, not just on X-Files. It's happened in real life. So I don't know. That irritates me, but kind of thing too. And then there's other things I'm noticing here. I forgot about, like, the five-pointed fish tank. And we do see in here, too, that she thinks that the Homer from her dimension is actually running around there in his NDE when she's talking to the Homer there. Which,
that was so cool.
She would have told him to go out and look. Yeah, I know, but all I'm thinking is, instead of explaining it, tell him, go out with the nurse and look at who's running. You know, go check it out, because he should have. Although there has been discussion, maybe they don't actually look like themselves in their bodies and they're jumping in somebody else temporarily. We don't know for sure. But I would assume if it was me, I would have said, you know, go after that person. He might see he looks just like him and know that maybe she's not, you know, as crazy as he thinks. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So there you go. And I think they find out in this one, too, that Nina's the one that owns the house. Yeah, it does. That it's not actually owned by,
you know, it's funny.
Russian.
I have watched this entire, so I watched the first two episodes and then I set it aside for, well, I watched the first three, I guess, and then I set it aside and watched the last five. And it's funny to go back and be talking about this. It seems like so much happened in these first two episodes that looking back, I'm like, wait, did that already happen this early in this episode?
Yeah, it seems like more stretched out. Yeah, that's why I double checked. That's why it helped. I had the,
and,
we talked about it last night.
And I would say, thinking back, I remember that I said to you after three episodes, I wasn't really sure how I was feeling about this season. I wasn't, like, maybe totally sold on it because, point, we're still not sure if what happened in season one really happened, or was it a dream, or did Prairie make it up? Like, you know, Prairie wakes up and she's Nina, but then she's Prairie Nina's body, and, like, we don't really know. We haven't seen the Crestwood kids yet, right? And we don't really know. So I was still a little unsold on it at this point. And, you know, as you said to me then, you said, oh, wait, it makes even less sense as it goes on. This show just gets completely whack as it keeps going, as it did last year.
But not in, like, a Helix way whack. Like a whack way that most of it starts to make sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff I'm not totally, still maybe not totally
getting
what that happened that we're going to have to talk about. But
yeah,
I think it
there.
Was...
But how did you feel on a whole?
I mean, on a whole, I would say that I continued to like Kareem more and more as the season went on. You know, with episode one and maybe episode two, I was like, wait, what? We have totally new characters. We have totally new stuff going on. I'm not down with this video game storyline. What's with these people? It took me a long time to recognize that Michelle Vu is Buck. I didn't really recognize Ian Alexander.
I recognized the last name Vu when they said that it was Mrs. Vu, the grandmother. So I went up and looked in the Internet Movie Database. I'm like, oh. And then after I looked at the picture, I'm like, oh, that is. So I kind of figured it out, but I kind of used a little bit of a visual aid. That's how I
did not recognize Ian Alexander as Michelle at this point. I think that, so Kareem and the Kareem storyline began to grow on me more and more. I mean, the house, I don't know, there's stuff in it that, the OA is not necessarily at its best, in terms of trying to tell a direct linear narrative that makes sense to us and answers questions and shows what's going on. I mean, this show is more, is at its best when it's a little more like trippy, dippy, and where it's really going is like sort of these metaphors about like belonging and making a family and being like alienated from your true self. And like every character in this is like, the kids, the Crestwood kids are all like self-loathing or trying to be somebody else or misfits who don't fit in. They mm-hmm. don't have present parents. They have BBA as sort of a surrogate parent and Prairie as a surrogate parent, and Prairie has no parents and has nobody, or Nina rather. And so I feel like the show is really at its best when it's playing with like mood and feelings more than like coherent story.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience. I was thinking, it's an experience. I mean, I think that by the end, the majority of the questions are answered. There's some threads that are still confusing, and there's a couple that still have no explanation. But I think that the overall, I mean, maybe you feel different, but I feel like the overall arcing story does get explained by the end of the season. Maybe not quite as neatly as last season, although last season, as much as it was explained, it was left up to your interpretation more. So I guess it depends which. But I don't know. See, I knew, my opinion was that you knew for sure that Prairie was telling the truth in the first episode when she finds out, I think I'd said this, when the nurse says that Biden's president, because I feel like, no, you never know. I mean, there's always unreliable narrators. We never know for sure. But I felt like at that moment that that was saying to us, yes, she's in a different universe, absolutely, because somebody else is confirming this. But,
yeah.
So I don't know. Kind of, again, it depends what you think. And there are some very bizarre things. Oh, that's one thing we didn't talk about, the seed. We didn't talk about the seed.
The seed was in this episode.
That doesn't necessarily make sense.
And I didn't necessarily like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie, it's weird. Hap takes, he gets the guy, and I think Ruskin's giving him these people. That's not really important now, but he gets the guy that had jumped out of the building that everybody said, like, they made you think was dead, who obviously isn't dead.
The guy who jumped out the window
and,
in episode one.
Right, the jump, yeah. And he takes him, and now he's not dead at that point. We don't really know, and this is kind of a conversation I've been getting into with people, and I don't want to go deep into this here because it would be revealing a lot of what happens later. But when he gets the people, we don't really know if they're dead or just knocked out or in a coma or what, because we know the guy was alive when he took him to the lab. It doesn't actually say he killed him. All we know is he puts his head, part of his head underwater, and there's a little – bud that comes out of his ear, this little plant thing, and he Hap says that that every it's inside every brain, but when they go in the house, it somehow like wakes it up and makes it grow, and he's taking them out. And
like
yeah,
literally,
the,
it looks like a bean sprout growing out of his ear. It's like a little plant, like a little flower bud, a little plant like a vine that grows out of his ear, and. And right then is when Rachel opens the other door and sees something so shocking that Hap has to kill her, sort of by accident, right? Like he sort
yes,
of
obviously
throws her on the ground and she dies, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty obvious to anyone that eventually we're going to see what's in there, and it'll be important. I don't know.
So,
I guess if there's a few things to me in the show that are so bizarre, I don't know that they're necessary. I mean, like, I understand how they fit in. I just don't necessarily like that it's too weird. And one of them to me is kind of the storyline with the seed. Like, I feel like it's a way out there explanation. Like, obviously it becomes more important later. That's why I don't want to go too into it. But it's one of those things, one of the things coming up, because there's also some other couple things coming up that
that really bothered me at the end of this episode. That's one reason why I said to you I wasn't sure how I felt and did I want to – like, that almost kind of lost me at the end of that episode because I felt like – so while season one was filled with, like, fake pseudoscience or, like, science that is not, like, real science, but it was sort of based – it, like, Hap had this, like – he had all these equipment and these sort of scientific things that he does. So, see, this dimension that Prairie is in – is so similar to our own dimension in terms of, like, everything's identical. Technology is identical. Fashion is identical. Like, nothing is different in this except for the people. And there's just no way that plants can grow out of your ear. Right? And so
I kind of assume I could be wrong, but at least – because you watched the whole season now, right?
I have watched the whole season now, and where that goes with the bean sprout in the ear continues to not really, like, speak to me or make sense to me.
Right, no. But what I'm saying is I'm under the understanding that that happens in all universes. It's not just in this universe. It's just he discovered it in this universe.
Okay, whatever. It can't happen.
That way. That's what I think.
Okay,
no, I know
whatever.
Happen,
it can't happen.
It wasn't, like, unique to this universe. There's some other things in here that can't happen, Karen.
I mean, I think it might be unique, but it can't happen. But I think
can't happen. No, I know.
I mean, the thing is that is it really a metaphor for when you know for there if there's like a seed in your brain that when you have an NDE, it's sort of like
aware.
Something in your brain gets triggered and grows so that you can become a traveler. And so, are they showing that so literally in a way that? It's so literal that it's dumb. Like, they could have also done that by him having them hooked up to an MRI and saying, look at this thing that's blooming inside their brain, even though they appear to be dead, right? Like,
yeah.
Like,
I don't know, though, that necessarily makes them a traveler, though, but go ahead.
Well,
I
mean,
in the house, so they've experienced some things.
Right.
Not everybody's made
right.
it. I don't want to get too far.
You're right. You're right.
It
doesn't mean
really
an NDE.
Scary, but
it could be that that guy had looked out the rose window and it drove him insane before he jumped out. But whatever these dreamers are doing, something in their brain is growing and blooming, and perhaps they're showing it in the most literal sense as and they could have shown that as an MRI or as another kind of brain imaging or another experiment that Hap was doing that would be more traditionally sciencey that we'd expect, but Britt Marling chose to show it in this way to us. But maybe I shouldn't really think of it as vines growing out of your ears, right? Like, I should, like, this show shows us stuff.
But
there's
yeah,
also
I mean,
that
obviously
bit.
It's meant to be literal, but I mean, I think that a lot of this stuff definitely has more metaphysical, you know, thought
yeah.
behind it.
I mean, so one thing that as I was watching episodes 1 and 2, and then later episodes where things are really, really crazy, way crazier shit happens than vines growing out of your ears.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's
the
biggest thing.
But yeah. one thing I was sort of thinking about in this, like, episode 2 and beyond is that the entire, like, a big part of this is dreams. And what people are dreaming and common dreams and what happens to you in your dreams and all this kind of stuff, right? And so I kind of, at this point, I was like, you know, is this a dream? What could be? There were multiple times in this season, which I guess we'll talk about later, where I wondered if a person was having a dream or was this real? And then there actually is a scene later in the season where Homer's having a dream. And I'm like, wait, is this shit real? And then he wakes up from a dream, right? So much of it, I was like,
that dream's a whole nother crazy shit thing, and won't even get there
yeah.
until we get there.
That's some scary shit that he dreamed.
Yeah,
so much of this,
yeah.
I'm like, wait, like, this is about dreaming and who you can be in dreams, and like, there's just so much going on with this show that like, is more about making us think than about what we see on the screen, right? Like, yeah. So at this point, I was like, wait, this is not about, like, I was really frustrated. I think I told you that, like, I thought I was watching a show about near-death experiences and a glimpse of the afterlife.
Yeah, so constant experiences.
And now it appears to be near-death is, it's not the afterlife, it's another dimension. And then I had dreams, and I'm like, where? And so I was a little, into the second episode, I was a little frustrated with, like, what is this? Where is this going? What am I watching? I mean, it becomes clearer as we've moved through.
More, even if everything,
they do.
Yeah, right.
They do. But in the context of this episode, I was feeling a little frustrated.
Yeah. The one thing people are saying, and I think is a thought, and I don't know if that's going to be true or not, but one of the theories that people have is that since there's 5 seasons, that each season is somebody else's. I mean, not that it isn't happening, I don't mean, but that it's somebody else's NDE, which is why I think a lot of people think next year is going to take place.
We're in Homer's NDE.
Well,
is this the episode?
Yeah.
Was it episode 1 or 2 where we saw Homer's NDE? Jamie, was it episode 1 or 2 where we saw Homer's NDE and the arm come out of the ceiling? Or did we not see that yet until episode 3?
In this episode, the other Homer is talking to her while she's saying it's happening because he reaches his hand up. But actually seeing the NDE was in the last season. Yeah.
Okay. No, in the last episode, we see it with the arm in this season. In season 2?
Yeah,
we see him
actually reaching up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot.
So I have seen that theory. I have seen that theory reported in some things that I've read, that the idea that each of the 5 characters will see their NDE, will see the alternate reality they see in their NDE.
Or at least that it's about them. Because the thing is, last year wasn't really an NDE, though. So I'm not sure. You can't really classify it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a thought that's going around.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say that, well, we're going to talk about this some more. I'm interested in talking a little bit more about Hap as we go forward and the way Hap is a, it's funny that his name is Hap because he's sort of hapless. Like, he doesn't really know what he's doing, right? Like, we talked about how he, like, kills people by mistake all the time, and he doesn't really know what he's doing, and he's like, oh, you know, science and discovery and prairie help me, and then, but he, like, is a total, like, he's a torturer, right? Like, he's a horrible, he's not a very good supervillain, and his total plan is to get prairie, a person who hates him more than anything, to cooperate with him.
I want to say things, but I'm thinking, I can't say that yet.
I mean,
yeah.
I do think Jason Isaacs does a good job of being, like, he's good and...
crazy.
You know, it's funny,
he plays a good villain.
He
does a good job of, though, also being charming. I feel like in this, as much as he's evil, he also sometimes is... And, I mean, regardless of me liking him, like, he's charming to the other characters that don't see it. So it's more like an under-the-surface thing, which is, like, why this Homer... he seems to just follow him without question. He can be very charming, but they don't see, like, that you know, man beneath the surface, I guess.
Well, that's how he tricks them all into, like, you know, although, I mean, he used Homer to trick Rachel, and he tricks Prairie himself, but he does use that charm to, like, get them in, and then he's, like, a total... you know, sadist in a way. Like, he kills them over and over again in the season one. And but I think Jason Isaacs, he plays a lot of villains. And, like, so Lucius Malfoy is, like, an over-the-top kind of a villain because he's, like, a, you know, fantasy character. And I just rewatched The Patriot recently, and he's a little over-the-top as an evil English redcoat, you know, in The Patriot. But he's kind of, he's a little, like... I'm enjoying seeing him play a much more nuanced, like, much more, somewhat more nuanced. Like, Hap is not the most completely nuanced villain I've ever seen, but he has more nuance than some other characters that I've seen Jason Isaacs play. And he's, he's pretty, he's doing a pretty good job in this. I tell you who I don't like by episode two and throughout the entire season is Homer. Like, this is the anti-Homer. This Homer is, like, not only is he, like, do we not like him because he's not remembering Prairie, and he's
our
not,
Homer.
You know, he's not in love with Prairie, he's not our Homer, so there's that not to like, but this Homer is not likable. Like, this Homer, probably because he sucks up to Jason, to Hap all the time and worships Hap.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's supposed
but also,
to be. Yeah.
I mean, there's a later episode where he goes on a date, and he's totally, like, not likable in that whole scenario either, right? And the date doesn't like him. And we don't like him.
Right. He seems like a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that he doesn't
know what's
going on. He's
a jerk, like, all the time,
yeah. Like a different person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Different. So, I think that's kind of the point, is they've all changed by, you know, different amounts depending what's changed in their life and everything. Because I think in this one, didn't he not get kicked out of football or something, or didn't, I don't remember, but
yeah,
something
he
ended up different than he ended up in this class. I forget what else I was going to say. Oh, so, like I said, next episode is about the other kids we finally get to see, on the other side, which is nice. Although I did read when I first started watching this, although I ignored it, cause, and I still don't really see why they said it, other than you might be a little less frustrated, but some people suggested to watch them out of order in order to watch, I don't remember if they said to watch 4 before 3 or to watch, like, 5 before 4. I don't know which it was, but they were, like, combining the ones with the other side together to... I don't know, make it make more sense. I didn't really notice that it needed it, but I also watched the last, so we'll see, I watched the first two, and then I watched the last 6 in one stretch, so that might be why, too. But I didn't find myself, like, thinking back on it, I didn't really notice that would have helped. Some people think so, I guess. So.
I mean, yeah. I get that, and yet I think it is important. I mean, I think there's value
there's like
in watching it the way they wanted us to watch it, the way they gave it to us, right?
Yeah.
Like, they
oh, yeah, I agree.
Gave it to us this way, and not in a way that, like, you know, sometimes you watch shows, particularly when shows used to be, like, 22 episodes, and you would the network would run something out of order for whatever reason, But this is given to us, I think, the way Britt Marling asked us to watch it. So you should watch it the way the first time. If you want to watch it later out of order, that's a different ball game. But I think watching it the way that they chose to deliver it is.
But I just was noting somebody said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think just to get the answer sooner isn't. I mean, I guess I'm one of those people who sometimes it, like, skims to the end of a book too. So I shouldn't say that. But you know, sometimes you want the answers ahead. But I think in a show like this, in the end, you're doing yourself a disservice because there's so many like things going on, you might miss something and don't get that like reveal. Because I mean, I that's one of the things I like about this kind of show. I like when I figure something out and it's like, oh yeah, you know, I was right, or I didn't get that, or whatever. But kind of that moment when you're supposed to figure it out rather than figuring it out early because you watched it out of order, you lose that. I did want to, I don't know, did you have anything? I don't know that I have anything else to say about this, really. I was going to move on, unless you have something. I was trying to think if there's anything else.
No, go ahead. That's okay. We'll talk about this more another time.
Yeah, okay. But I do want to remind people, please, we're going to do the live tweet next Monday. I will put up about it on the site, so if you want to join us, and there is more than just me now. People actually showed up, thankfully. And there's a lot, like, more people this time planning, too, so hopefully it'll go even better. But you can just go to Sci-Fi Vision for that or look on Twitter. There's one thing I want to talk to you about, and this is kind of just in relevance to this when you were saying about, you know, this is the order that they were meant to be in. Do you find with streamed shows that there's one thing I kind of have a problem with not this one didn't do it, but some of the shows is I feel like a lot of times when they drop a whole season of something at once, because they expect people to binge it, that they do things a bit differently. Like when you watch something on television and they know it's going to be spaced, they tend to put like important moments to some extent in the first episode to kind of grab you. But I feel like sometimes because they feel like they don't have to do that in streaming, that they pace it the way they want to pace it, but it's not necessarily as attention grabbing. Because I'm someone who like will watch something and give it a chance, but some people won't. I'm just giving this example because me and my family started watching Hannah. I liked it and I'm probably going to watch the rest. But it is very, very slow at the beginning. And a lot of times people like my mom, if they don't see something they like within the first 20 minutes of something, they're not going to watch it. I don't know. Do you find that? Because I know people watch it different ways. I'm somebody who gives something more time.
I know that you are willing to give stuff more time often than I am. Now, is Hannah based on the movie Hannah?
I guess so. I didn't realize that. But
in the movie Hannah,
like
it's about a little girl who's raised in like the wilderness away from all society by her father. And he teaches her how to be like basically a killer, right? Like he teaches her how to be a very self-sufficient person to live in the, but he actually like has a revenge plot going on of like some people killed her mother and they're eventually going to come probably to get Saoirse Ronan was in it. It was her breakthrough role. And her father's an assassin and he's basically training her as an assassin because eventually people are going to try to come and kill them. So I guess it's based on that.
But see, that's a movie. Like that's like a movie.
Right. But this show seems
like
to be based on it, right?
Right. But it's like other than the beginning when, and it's been out, so I don't think it matters if I spoiled it, but the beginning when he's running away with her as a baby, other than that, which I don't know, I thought that part was good. I guess it didn't hook them. But after that, the whole thing for quite a while is as she grows up learning to do things. And it was a little slow. And I just wondered if you found that with stream television, because there's something else, I forget what it was that I watched, but I kind of felt the same thing, like they paced it slower than you would if it's on network, because they can do that. Because they don't have, have to, like, wait.
I mean, I think there is value in watching some shows on a week-by-week basis, particularly real water cooler shows, like Lost, like The Americans, like something like Counterpart, where there's a lot to stew over and discuss and theorize, and it's fun. There's value for certain shows in me having a week to digest it. I also think there's great value in some shows that I can just bang out. Binging is like a guilty pleasure of the new millennium, where you can sit and like bang out an, you know. I think that it probably encouraged me to, like, would I have ever watched the OA if I couldn't binge it? Like, I the first season I heard so much about, and I laid on the couch with the flu and watched the whole thing in one day. And the second season I watched 3 hours, and then the next five. But I didn't love those
kind of
first
show you don't want to
three.
Quit.
But I didn't love those first 3 hours. And I was
yeah,
like
it takes a while to get to the
meat
of the show sometimes. Yeah, like
I think it takes
a while to get kind of into the...
I think that dropping the whole season allows me to give it an extra chance in a way that I maybe wouldn't week by week. Like, I can watch an hour and be like, that wasn't great, but it was okay. Let me just watch one more hour and see if it's any good. Well,
yeah.
Let me just watch one more hour and see if it's any
That's
good.
True.
Whereas if I had to wait a whole week, and now it's Tuesday night, and maybe I'll go out somewhere, and maybe I don't, you know,
you
like,
forget,
maybe
you
I
know.
Wouldn't.
Yeah, that's the point.
You know, maybe the show's not
that's
good enough
point.
For me to make an appointment with it.
Right. But do you feel
like
that they're pacing it different sometimes? Or do you think that's just me? I don't know. I just feel like sometimes that they are, because a lot of times with a show, like, they have to kind of have that hook in the first episode. And sometimes maybe that's not the order they want, but if you don't have some kind of attention-grabbing thing, people don't come back. I just feel like with streaming, a lot of times they don't seem to try to force that in there. I don't know. Maybe that's just what happens to be the way a couple shows I've seen. I wish I could remember what other show it was. I got the same feeling from it, but I can't remember what it was.
I mean, are they pacing it that way on purpose? I think that the OA is not a good example because whatever the hell Britt Marling is doing is more about art.
Yeah,
I don't know if they
intentionally
pace a show differently. I mean, I think, and
I guess I'm
you
saying,
and
I don't think
and...
they intentionally make it slow. I'm just saying I think when it's on television, they feel the need to put, like, a hook in there, whereas when it's on bingeable, they pace it the way they feel it should be paced, and they don't worry about it not having a hook, which sometimes I feel like can be a backfire for people that don't give it a chance. I agree with you. Usually bingeable, you give it more of a chance, and maybe that's why they don't worry so much. But
okay, but there's
can,
a second thing going on there. So I will agree with you in the sense that you and I and AJ have talked a lot about how important it is for a pilot episode to grab people and to have a hook and to get me interested. And you look at some of the great pilots in history, you just wanted to really watch that episode, watch the next episode. And but, like, are they pacing it differently on Netflix because it's bingeable? I think they're pacing it differently on Netflix because they're not beholden to ad sales. And, like, they don't have to
an
episode that they can sell ads into and get 18 to 49 eyeballs on it every week. Like, it's paid for, it's
done,
and
they don't have to make it exactly 45 minutes
either.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to sell 22 minutes of ad space. They don't need advertising. They don't have numbers every night that they got to meet. And so I think that you can pace it a little differently when you're just like HBO can or Stars or anybody else can pace it differently when they're not beholden to advertisers.
Right.
I
think
I don't know enough about the business,
maybe
but
just happened to start out
combo.
Slow. I mean, so it might just be got slow shows. I don't know. Because, I mean, the OA, I think, very quickly hooks you. But I don't know. I just, when I was watching Hannah, I was thinking about that. And I know there was something else. I just don't remember what it was. But did that. The other show I think looks good I want to try on Netflix is The Silence. I know it seems like a ripoff of something else, but it still looks good. Sorry,
what
we've gone off topic. The Silence. I don't think it's on Netflix yet. I shouldn't say it. I think it's coming to Netflix. I can't remember. I've seen an ad or something for it. But that is coming. All right. Well, I went off topic enough. I was just kind of curious your interpretation of that. So we'll be back. Well, next week. You know, I was saying about setting a separate show for OA. Next week, all we have is the OA. I didn't even think about that. We don't have anything else. So we'll be back next week for that and probably to we do. Next week is also Discovery of Witches. So that was dumb. I made a story. Everybody watch Discovery of Witches. Wait, it starts on the 7th. What day of the week is that?
Yeah, it's Sunday. It's the 7th. So I am probably not going to be able to watch that, at least not in the timeline. I'm going to record it on my DVR.
I forgot you're not going to be here.
And also, like, so we're not covering the show, but Killing Eve was back this week, and some other stuff is, I mean, we don't have anything to cover because nothing's really coming back till May that we cover on the show except for Game of Thrones. And we can do Discovery Witches. I'm going out of town on the 7th, and I won't be back until the 18th. So I will miss two podcasts with you guys. And I will be in Ethiopia where...
So AJ needs to get his button gear and watch away.
Yeah, because even if I get my... I got to get a VPN so I can have a US IP address to watch HBO. Because HBO Go, even if you're a subscriber to HBO Go, it doesn't work outside the United States. You need a US IP address. Or
you're
going to
be back the 18th or you're coming back the 18th?
I'm back in the U.S. on the Friday the 19th.
Okay,
I depart Ethiopia
we'll
on the 18th. I'm
okay.
in the U.S. on Friday the 19th. So I will be unable to meet you because 10 o'clock podcast is 5 in the morning in Ethiopia.
Okay.
But I'll try to
That's
email
fine.
You
so
off
I will still
I
do something
stream.
For the OA. So
mm-hmm.
I just have to decide. And then
okay.
we'll talk. You can talk about Discovery Witches after you've seen it.
Okay.
The other option, too, is if you want to, I had thought about this last time and I forgot to mention it. We could technically pre-record a podcast that's like, you know,
yes.
earlier in the day for you.
And
then
that
way we could air it. There's nothing saying we can't do that. So, yeah, maybe like after you get in there, like maybe Monday or something, we could do that, and that way it could be a different time because I don't think it's really going to matter. We don't generally get
yeah.
live call-ins right now, so. All right, well,
mm-hmm.
we'll think about
that.
You let me know
yeah.
what works best for you, what time, all right?
Okay, yeah,
and
for sure.
I guess for tonight, that's it, though, so have a good trip.
Okay.
And
all right,
thank you.
You.
Everybody who listens or downloads the episode, and we'll be back
Thanks,
next week.
Thanks, Roger, for hosting us. All right, cool.
Yes, thank
Take
you.
Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.